can have everyone with different backgrounds, different cultures, different languages, and different experiences, and yet at the same time have unity.
Make it plain.
With Matsumela Mapfumo.
Mark Thompson. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
BlackCommentator.com, editorial board member Carl Blois joins us now. His cover story, Left Margin, Capitalism Reaches a Crossroads. Carl, how are you? Good to have you back with us. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine. Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah.
Let's deal with the point. Capitalism reaches a crossroads. What crossroads, Carl?
Well, I think there's a real division going on now. This economic crisis, which gets worse every hour. The stock market just went crazy today. Is seeking solutions as to how to rescue the situation, and it's getting more and more dire. And people are beginning to raise questions about the system itself, the way that the free enterprise or capitalist system works, and whether that has produced the crisis. And my argument is that the real argument right now in the public view and worldwide is the particular kind of capitalism or the particular kind of economic system that we have in the United States and generally share with countries like Britain and Australia. And there is a real crisis of trying to defend the system.
Let's talk about this issue of socialism. The right wing has been throwing that word around a lot. As a matter of fact, Bill O'Reilly went off on some of his right wing radio ideologue colleagues the other day, saying they're too focused on socialism. But in your article, you address this issue of this bailout perhaps being socialism for the rich. Is that so?
No. It's not just the right wing. I mean, even some of the liberals, they like to use this word to describe what's happening.
Yeah.
This big giveaway to the banks and the finance companies is being described as socialism. In a sense, they are socializing debt. I mean, what they're doing is that they're taking the risk away from the banks and putting it on the taxpayers. But it's nothing. It's not socialism. It's just a clever way that they found to sort of point up the irony of the situation that the government is finally acting. But it's not socialism, and it bears no resemblance to anything that could possibly be called socialism. What we're facing now is a kind of corporatism where the major finance centers, Wall Street, and the government collude basically to save the fortunes of those people who have driven the economy into the ground, into the situation we're in.
Would we call it state capitalism?
I call it state capitalism. Other people have. I quoted a few people in the article who said that's what it was.
And I like this other person you quoted, this other term, economist Arnold Kling. You quote him as calling this progressive corporatism.
Progressive corporatism is one word. Robert Scheer has suggested that it's close to fascism. It really does bear a stronger resemblance to a kind of state-managed capitalism.
Is this a good thing? Is that a good thing, Carl Blois?
I don't think so. I fear for us. One of the things that people don't recognize, and it's interesting, Obama said it in today when he was speaking in Michigan. He says, for the people of Michigan, this crisis didn't just begin. And what's happened is that over the last couple of decades, a huge amount of wealth has been amassed in this country. And the system, ran wild and ran up all this debt, and people got fabulously rich. The only problem was that inequality grew at the same time. And so that the poor either stayed where they were or got poor, and working people lost out in this scramble for this wealth. So that this inequality that's been building up, and that's the background to this situation.
So that's not, this is not a good place to be in. But let me ask this: is this, will this eventually lead us to a better place or some type of market reform?
Let me put it this way.
Okay.
They have said, I mean, even Hank Paulson has said, and George Soros and all the big financiers have said, this is only the first step.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get past this step. And then we can start to address the fundamental questions. This is really an attempt to create, to change the atmosphere. What they want to do is to prevent, something really terrible happening. And they certainly want to prevent it before the November election. So everybody's behind this move to get past this stage, but they've got other stages lined up.
There's
going to be other proposals because this is not going to solve the economic crisis.
So, what? Do you have any idea what it might be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're talking openly about transferring money, actually buying stake in the banks. It's called recapitalization of the banks. That's actually the next stage. They're saying openly that, probably in January, we'll come forward, we'll have a new administration, and it's going to be necessary to put money into the banks. Otherwise, the banks will not. The problem here, we've been told that it's trust and risk, and the banks won't lend money because they're afraid they won't get it back. They miss one problem, which they talk about sometimes, but usually on the finance pages, which is the banks don't have any money. And so that one of the reasons they don't loan is because they're short. So the next question becomes, well, how do we give the banks the money? And we're going to go back to the taxpayers once again to try and figure this out. This is not...
But now, wait a minute, Carl. Carl Bloss of BlackCommentator.com with us. You said something a moment ago. You said, you sounded as if that move coincides with a new administration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What does that have to do with a new administration doing?
Oh, I think they've gotten to the point now where everybody agreed. McCain agreed, Obama agreed, Bush agreed, Paulson agreed to this bailout package, and this bailout package is to meet the emergency, but it doesn't go to the real crisis and the long term crisis that's going to be with us for quite a while. But they want to get it passed now because let's say somebody comes, one of the candidates comes out and actually opposes this bailout scheme, and sees it for the giveaway that it is, and then the stock market tanks. Well, they get blamed. So they want to get past this. They want this thing to happen real soon, certainly before the second Tuesday in November.
Carl Bloss, Black Commentator. .com, our guest, your calls. We've had a lot of fruitful discussion the past few days on this so-called bailout. Your questions for Carl and his expertise in this area. The cover story of BlackCommentator.com, Left Margin, Capitalism Reaches a Crossroads. Carl Bloss with us, 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. We'll continue. This is Sirius Left 146. Make it plain. Carl Blois of BlackCommentator.com, our guest. And we're going to get back to him and your calls. 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. His piece, Left Margin, Capitalism Reaches a Crossroads, at BlackCommentator.com. Now, reminder, a couple of programming notes. We'll go off the air our regular time, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Come back an hour later, 60 Minutes, 60 Minute Man. We'll come back an hour later. And you got that? I know you do. You bad man. and then we'll come back an hour later in just 60 minutes and open up the debate, the vice presidential debate. We'll all be thoroughly entertained tonight, I'm sure. And then an hour and a half, 90 minutes after that, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, our live debate reaction special, your calls. So it will open up the phone lines at 10:30 sharp, and Ms. Rogers will be eagerly standing by as soon as the debate is over. I mean, immediately the lines will be open. Our poll will be up till 9. Our current poll, is she going to mess up more? That's basically the crux of the poll. Make it plain, the Make It Plain poll, series.com/Political Talk poll. And then at midnight tonight, you can start answering our new poll in terms of who won the debate. So, Carl Blois here with us as we talk about the bailout, capitalism at a crossroads. Just before we go to the phone lines, old Carl Blois, you also chronicle in great detail the global context of this and how other countries are concerned, and that other countries even prior to the U.S. have been in the same position, and the U.S. advised them against doing precisely what the U.S. just did.
That's right. They did it precisely with the Japanese and the Koreans and all the countries of Latin America. They pushed the free market, unregulated, don't rescue the banks, let companies that are failing fall, and they did it over and over again. And so now the rest of the world is looking at the United States and saying, well, what gives? You know, you told us not to do it, and now you're doing exactly what you told us to do. The other thing is that it's been building for some time. They've come up throughout the world. They've come up with these phrases like turbo capitalism and raw bone capitalism to try and describe why what happens in the United States is so different than what happens in the rest of the world. And one of the things is that the right wing is correct when it says that greed cannot be legislated. You can't outlaw greed. But the conclusion that most people in the world draw is therefore the government is important, because otherwise greed becomes unrestrained.
Mm-hmm.
And people who want vast profits will do anything to get them. And so the state, the government, becomes very important as a protector of not only the system, but of the people and their interests. And that's the kinds of things that they're now discussing in Europe, of, you know, how to decouple ourselves from that kind of system. A system which, for instance, the Germans say, the whole thing is how much profit can you make and how quickly can you do it. And as Noam Chomsky says, how much profit can you make and ignore the consequences, the social consequences of the way that you extract those profits.
Interesting comments, too, from some world leaders, and I believe you document the prime minister of France, who compared what some of these people have been doing in this capitalist system in America to terrorism.
That's true. For instance, the new forms of derivatives and other exotic forms that have been created to work on Wall Street and in the financial area have been referred to as weapons of mass destruction. And people are, what's being said is that yes, you know, terrorism's a horrible thing, and what happened in 9/11 is a terrible thing. But this is also terrible, what has happened, and it will have far-reaching consequences.
866-99 Sirius. Carl Blois here with us, blackcommentator.com. Greg's in Dallas. Greg, God bless you. You're on the air with Carl Blois. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Mark?
Fine. How are you?
First one I had is a kind of a technical point. When you said that banks are broke, I mean, technically banks can create money, so I mean, there's really no way for them to go broke. But the way I interpret this particular problem is that banks are afraid to create the loan asset because they aren't guaranteed that they will maintain financing for that loan. That, you know, that depositors and other lenders are yanking their money and putting them in their T-bills, and so they'll be left tied and dry. And I guess that, to me, that's what the whole crisis is that this whole subprime disaster has created a situation where vast sums of money are just going to the where there's no risk. I mean, what is that pretty accurate?
Well, no, there is a view that the banks don't want to lend money because of the risk. But there is also a view that says that the problem is that there's not enough money in the system. That is, the banks just simply do not have, I mean, so much wealth has disappeared from the system, and we don't really know where the risk is, and we don't know what the debts are because of the way this thing has been structured. So there is a view that what's necessary is to make it possible for the banks to have access to enough capital to be able to extend, loans to people.
I guess the other point, and I was originally against the bailout too, but I did some, you know, research on some of these mortgage derivatives, and I was kind of surprised because, you know, no matter how they slice and dice it, it seems like that they all have cash flows. And a lot of the derivatives were actually created to basically manage the risk around prepayment of mortgages on these mortgage-backed securities. I guess my point is that, given that, you know, no one knows what the real default rates are in these securities, but I would guess that most, if not, you know, the overriding majority of them still have people trying to make their payments, and therefore there is cash that's going to be coming in from them. So I'm not so sure that there isn't a possibility that the government might actually be able to, you know, pull this off, and that these securities might eventually, in fact, they should all start, you know, paying money right away, unless they're, you know, just the most junior type parts of these derivatives that they have. I mean, I don't know. I guess I thought Bush and Paulson did a remarkably bad job of selling this.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, one of the interesting aspects of this is that one of the things that Congress had in front of it was a strong plea from some people in this country that they do something about the mortgage crisis. They practically ignored it. They have not come up with anything except some vague voluntary proposals that, you know, could relieve the problems of people holding mortgages. I have been walking around saying, oh, there are 2 million people in this country who are in danger of losing their homes. Well, I picked up the New York Times this morning, and the Times editorially says that there are 6 million people who expect to default on their mortgages this year and next.
Wow.
6 million. And we all know, and that's separate and aside from the millions of people who've never missed a mortgage payment and stand to lose money on their homes. And we all know that the greatest weight of this the disproportionate weight that's falling on African-American and Latino people.
Yeah, no question about it.
And the African-American community is losing a huge amount of its collective wealth as a result of this, because our wealth was held primarily in home ownership, or largely in home ownership. So that there was always the possibility, and people have raised it over and over again, that if they really wanted to get the economy moving, one way to do it would be to free these people up from having this onerous burden on them. Make it possible for people to stay in their homes and have the money to be able to spend to rev up the economy. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is in the long run.
Isn't that you get into the moral hazard thing on that one, though, don't you?
Isn't that what?
The moral hazard.
Well, yeah, it is, you know, and it's funny because the moral hazard is raised when it concerns, you know, the 50-year-old African-American widow and her house that she's trying to pay for. But the moral hazard suddenly goes out the window because Lehman Brothers or Goldman Sachs or somebody else is too big to fail. There's an inequity here.
Yeah, no question about it. Greg, thank you for your call, but let me get some other people on. Thank you so much. 866-99-SERIOUS. Keith in Michigan. Keith, God bless you. You're on there with Carl Bloys of BlackCommentator.com. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask him a question. Would you consider yourself a Keynesian economist or I wouldn't say Austrian economist, but...
First of all, number one, I'm not an economist. I write about economic subjects, but I'm not an economist, and I don't claim to be. Obviously, I mean, you know, I'm a socialist, and I think that the direction that we should be moving in is more in that direction than the direction that we're going.
Okay.
Let me say that I think that what has happened is that the Keynesians, who have a view about the role of government in preserving the system and making it more equal spurring the economy by making it easier for people who are working people, has been replaced by this what's called market fundamentalism, or the people who've actually been running the show for the last 20 years or so.
Okay, well, I call Mark a lot with this, but the right tries to put it on the black people who borrowed money, who didn't have enough money to pay for their homes, and the left try to put it on free markets. And both of those ideas are false, because we're not looking at the root cause of these problems. The root cause of these problems is the government is in the market. The government sets interest rates artificially low, makes you think that there's more money out there than it is. And you can't blame someone black who goes and borrows money, because it's under the assumption that the money is there, but in actuality, there's no money there. So basically, it's all a game. And the Federal Reserve System plays an excellent job in placing the blame on, oh, it's the left fault and the right fault. But if we don't get the root cause of this problem, we're always going to have these problems. And I don't understand why we like the benefits of capitalism, but we don't like capitalism. Because you and I know you are, and Mark, everyone likes to have money enough to take care of their family. It's not about everyone else's family. Your daughter or your kids or your wife or anybody. You know what I mean? You got to take care of your family. So we like the benefits of capitalism, but it's like we don't want to follow capitalism through. It's like it boggles me. And I just don't understand how the root cause of this problem. The root cause is the Federal Reserve and it plays us against each other.
Well, let me get a response. Carl, do you agree with the caller?
Yeah, I think the caller is right. I mean, I don't believe that the people who borrowed money and got mortgages are the people who are at fault. They were told over and over and over again that housing prices would continue to rise, that what they were doing was a very safe bet. They were told that over and over again. Alan Greenspan said it, told the country that it was true. So, you know, to try and lay the blame on working people or people of color is just absurd. And you know, people like to raise that kind of argument, but it's the policies, it's the economic policies that have been pursued for the last couple of decades in this country, and the management of the economy that's got us into this mess.
Indeed, indeed. Keith, thank you. I got to try to get some other people on, man. I'm real tight tonight in terms of time. Shane in Memphis. Shane, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Thanks, gentlemen. And this is a good segue coming into my point, is, you know, one of the things that I'm very disjointed about in this bailout proposal, or what's being framed as a rescue proposal now, is the failure of Congress to establish jurisdiction for federal courts to renegotiate mortgages that are in trouble.
Right. Yeah, I guess earlier Senator Casey talked about that.
Right, and the bad part is there's an opportunity for people to continue to put, you know, money into this system, and they're going to look at these people and say, sorry, we're going to have to foreclose.
Right,
I believe
right.
There's a reason behind that, because if they had put that in there,
uh-huh.
How many banks would have looked at the proposal and said, you know what, we're not going to take the federal money, because if we do, you're going to take those mortgages and refinance, and those people are going to keep those mortgages, and the government then would hold those in a lease-to-own status. To where when they paid off that amount, the homeowners would actually own that home at that point. I don't think that the banks would have participated in the bailout, which would have looked even worse as a total snub, because what's the best situation for the banks? You've kept the payments that people have made for the last 2, 3, 5 years.
Right. You keep the payments, then you keep the payments, then you get the property too.
And you get the property, and you can resell that property.
Wow.
And you've received your bailout money from the government. So all in all, your profit margin is far above and beyond what it would have been otherwise.
That's an interesting point. Carl, what do you think about that?
I have nothing to add.
Yeah, the callers might be on to something. I hadn't thought about that, Shane.
He said exactly what I would say. I think people ought to call up their congresspeople and say, how come you couldn't do this?
Mm-hmm.
It seems so sensible.
Yeah. And Shane, you may have given us the reason why they didn't do it. That's very insightful on your part. Thank you, Shane. And one more, Brother Poole, Minister Poole in Atlanta. Minister Poole, God bless you.
Minister Massimello, how you doing today?
Fine, my brother. How are you?
I'm just blessed. And look, I just got a question about industry in this country. When you're shipping all the industry and outsourcing the jobs, wouldn't that create a lack of funds? I heard the gentleman saying that one of the main principles of what's going on is that there's no more money in the system. It don't matter how much money you put at the top. If the people don't have jobs, I mean, we're even outsourcing government contracts now. If the people don't have jobs to pay these loans, how are we ever going to get the economy moving again?
Amen. Amen. Carl?
Absolutely right. And, you know, you had to look at the figures of what happened to the auto industry in the last quarter and see that it's absolutely true. And the unemployment statistics are going to come out tomorrow, and every indication is they're going to be dire. I mean, there are going to be more and more people out of work.
Yeah, no question about it. Thank you, Minister Poole. We appreciate you. Carl Bloys's piece is at blackcommentator.com. We encourage you all to check it out by all means. Carl, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man, and get your insight, okay?
All right. Good to be here.
All right, folks. The cover story again, blackcommentator.com. Left Margin, Capitalism Reaches a Crossroads by Carl Bloys.